This message entitled A Parade Along the Way was delivered to Christ Rock Bible Church on Palm Sunday, April 14th, 2019, by the Reverend Roy D. Warren Jr.
A parade along the way. A parade along the way is what I want to take a look at here today. Palm Sunday, as you know, and I'm going to liken it to a parade. And I'm sure that's basically what it looked like as it was going on, but it had some very distinct purposes along the way. And oftentimes parades are that way too. When you think about it, you know, the Thanksgiving Day parades that you can watch on TV or whatever, you know, they have special things. They have stuff along the way. There's a reason for them. Actually, not to be too cynical, but mostly it's a commercial. You know. Sure, it's got all the new Broadway plays being, you know, in Manhattan being offered up and encouraging people to go. And then it's got certain movies that are highlighted and certain cartoons that are highlighted and so forth. It's kind of a big advertising scheme. But that's not what this is. This parade has much more meaning. We'll see that as we go. We have seen so far during the season of Lent the steps. I have incorporated them into just a few Sundays. It's not been real easy to do. I'd like to take a week for everything that happened throughout the whole time that Jesus was making his way to the cross. But that's the time that we have. So we set it up to see five steps along the way. Step one, step two, step three, step four, and then finally, step five. And then comes the cross, which we will see in detail on Friday night. Okay? Along with that, we are focusing on the communication that goes on through these steps and the communication that obviously even goes on at the cross. Because things weren't all that quiet at the cross. In more ways than one. Jesus himself had some things to communicate while he was on the cross. We're going to be taking a look at all of that, both pro and con. By that, I mean the people that were getting after Jesus, you know. You got, you know, you think you say you can do this and you say you can do that. Come on down from the cross. And, you know, all that commotion too. But our highlight is going to be, I believe, the communication that Jesus had from the cross. So we're going to back up a little bit. We've come right up to the cross as of last Sunday. We're going to back up just a little bit to the very beginning of this whole process and see something that was at the very beginning. But because Palm Sunday is literally the week before the cross and the week before the Easter Sunday and so forth, we have to back up to it. But I think it'll put everything in perspective. The parade has a purpose. The parade points the way. I won't take long with this illustration because I believe I've shared it before. I know I have. It's a story about a boy who lives out in the country. And a circus was coming to town. And so he got up bright and early that Saturday morning. And he made his way to the town. And of course, being out in the country and being poor and so forth, he had been saving for a long time to be able to go to this circus. And he went ahead and got up early, had breakfast, and down the road he went. I don't know how long it took him to get there, but he did get there. And lo and behold, there was the parade. You know what I'm talking about. You've seen movies on this, you know, where the parade comes to town and it's you know, promoting, of course, the circus. And so the elephants come down the road, you know, and then, of course, the, you know, the guys with the little shovels behind them. And then, you know, and then there's all the horses, and there might be a band or two, or there might be, you know, there could be a lot of different things in the parade. A lot of things to point the way. Well, the boy saw the parade and he went back home and his dad started to ask him a few questions. And the boy said, oh, it was great. was great. I never saw anything like it. It was, you know, these elephants and these horses and these, you know, performers and bands and all kinds of stuff. And he goes, yeah, but what did you think of the trapeze artist or the lion tamer or all of this other stuff in the circus? And he says, what other stuff? All he knew was the parade. He didn't know the parade was pointing the way to the circus. In fact, the parade was so that people would get all hepped up and get their money gathered and make it over to the circus and see everything that goes on in the three-ring circus, the big top. He didn't know that. He came home and missed the circus. He saw the parade, but he missed the circus. It's kind of the same way when it comes to Palm Sunday and it comes to Jesus, because it's like a parade. And it's got a purpose, it's got a reason, and it's pointing to Jerusalem, and specifically, of course, what's going to take place in Jerusalem, namely, or outside of Jerusalem, to be literal, in with the cross, and of course, an empty tomb. Along the path to the cross, we could use a parade to point the way. Now, we've already taken those steps to the cross. And praise God, you already remember them. The times that Jesus told them that there was going to be a cross in the first place. All these different things, you know, Gethsemane and all these different things before Pilate and Herod and all of that. All of these different steps. We've already seen them. Now, we're going to take a look at the parade that points the way. Amen? That points the way to the ultimate conclusion, which, of course, involves a cross, but it also involves an empty tomb. Praise the name of Jesus. It's what it's for. Amen? It's what it's about. Praise God. There was once a wife who came to her pastor and said, I'm afraid that my husband is going off the deep end. It kind of frightens me because he seems to think he's a refrigerator. Pastor said, I wouldn't really worry about it. He's undergoing some stress now. And he'll still snap out of it. It'll be okay. Keep calm. Keep relaxed. And he'll eventually overcome this particular problem. And the wife answered and said, well, I'm not so worried about his delusion itself. What bothers me is that my husband sleeps with his mouth open and the little light shines right in my face all night long. Points the way. Speaking of circuses, someone once said a marriage is like a three-ring circus. This is not my idea. I'm just simply sharing it. It's a three-ring circus. First comes the engagement ring, then the wedding ring, and then the suffering. I never said that. All right. A man was riding home from work one day with the car radio on. And the dial was turned to a talk radio show where the host was interviewing a marriage counselor. The counselor suggested that the way to put some of the magic back in the marriage is to do some little unexpected act of love for one's spouse. For no reason at all. You don't wait till a birthday or, anniversary or Christmas or any of those things. They're not neglected, but you know, you can go ahead and do something at other times, just kind of out of the blue, so to speak. Well, the man thought about what the marriage counselor had said, and he decided that it could be fun to surprise his wife with, number one, a box of candy, number two, a bouquet of flowers, and thirdly, a little formality in the marriage, a little formality. So he purchased the candy and the flowers on the way home from work that day, which ended up making him a little late, which made dinner just a little late. He went to the front door instead of going to the back as usual and be unannounced. He went to the front door and rang the doorbell. Well, when the man's harried wife, and by that I mean she's not covered with hair. Harried means, you know, she's just been run ragged all day, okay? Maybe I just say that, huh? When the man's ragged wife yanked open the front door and saw him standing, smiling, extending the bouquet of flowers and the box of candy, she blurted, "Oh, this is just great. After a day like this, the day that I've had, Junior got expelled from school because he sassed the teacher. Susie fell down the basement steps and knocked one of her front teeth loose. The baby is sick today. The washing machine broke down. The commode overflowed. And now to top it all off, you come home drunk." See, it really threw her. This is not something he's done before. He hasn't just out of the blue brought gifts or made anything special out of any given day. Life needs to be a parade. Amen. I think there's a parade atmosphere that needs to be in life that is leading to the ultimate goal, the circus, so to speak. It's good that Jesus shows us now what a prayer, what a parade can be, what a parade means, what it can mean, put it that way. This journey has got to begin with a conversation, and that happened during the parade. A conversation. Not the wife getting after the man, but the man conversing with the wife through the candy and the, you know, the rest of it. Praise God. Otherwise, we don't really see the parade, or we don't really see the purpose of the parade to any great degree. I want you to turn to the story as we find it in Luke. We've been in Luke mostly in this whole series. And I thought we'd just stay there for right now. Look at verse 28. This is Luke 19, verse 28. "And when he had thus spoken," who had thus spoken? Well, look back at what's right before that. A whole bunch of red letters. It's Jesus who had spoken right before this. Praise God. And he had shared the parable of the pounds specifically. The servants and the pounds. "And when he had thus spoken," it says in verse 28, "he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem." He started the parade. He started a parade. "And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples." So along the way, along this parade, all right, he comes to these two small towns, which are really only a couple of miles outside of Jerusalem. Bethany, of course, you'll remember that's the old hometown of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And Jesus often stayed with them when he was anywhere in the area. All right, so he goes through this area. And he says to a couple of his disciples, he says, go ye into the village. He's communicating now with his followers as they are on this parade. He's got something for them to do. As they haven't actually started yet. You'll see that develop as we go. Okay? Go ye into the village over against you. In other words, that village over there. And the which at your entering ye shall find a colt. You're going to find a young donkey tied, whereon yet never man sat. This donkey is pure. This donkey is holy. This donkey is not dirty. This donkey is not worn out. This donkey is fresh, so to speak. He's not carried a burden for anybody. And now he's going to carry Jesus. And he's going to carry Jesus for us. Amen? Nobody's ever sat on him. Loose him and bring him hither. Now, another gospel will mention the mother of the donkey as well. But I'm just going to focus on what it says in Luke 19. Because it is clear that he rides the colt. I'll show you that in just a second too. All right. Look at Zechariah chapter 9. In fact, it wouldn't hurt you to hold your finger there at Luke 19 and turn back to Zechariah 9. Now, Zechariah is one of those prophets that's towards the end of the Old Testament. So you don't go too far on the other side of Matthew before you run into Zechariah. Okay? It's not too far back. Okay? And I want you to turn to chapter 9, Zechariah chapter 9. And I want to look at verse 9. Okay? Verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on an ass, and upon the colt, the foal of an ass. This is a prophecy that is fulfilled on Palm Sunday as Jesus rides into Jerusalem on the back of a young donkey. Amen? So that's where it all comes from. He's not making it up. He's purposely fulfilling the prophecy. He wants everybody to know what this parade is about. Amen? He wants the little boy who only thinks that the parade is everything that's going on that day and doesn't go all the way. He wants him to know he needs to go all the way. Do you hear that? Amen? I think it's crucial. Turn back to Luke, please. There was a note along with that. I'll just share it. You don't have to turn back to it right now. This is going to be, let's see, 9. Yeah. A still greater cause for rejoicing is the coming of the king, not in royal splendor, but in humility, riding on an ass. Zechariah's prophecy foresees the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. By riding into the holy city in this way, Jesus declared himself to be the Messiah and Savior, ready to go to the cross. Do you see it? He's communicating. He's making it by doing what was prophesied before, years before. He is proving that he is the Messiah. Because everybody knew that Zechariah 9:9 was talking about the coming Messiah. Now he does it. And everybody should know from that this is the Messiah. Praise God. And if any man ask you, he says in verse 31, why do you loose him? Why are you untying the donkey? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord has need of him. We need to loose this donkey because he's got a job to do for Jesus. And I want you to think about something here. If it's going to be the donkey that carries Jesus, what about us? I think we're also called to be that donkey that carries Jesus to people that need Jesus, carry Jesus to everybody that needs to see him for who he really is. So we're going to have to see him for who he really is, and we're going to have to live like it. Amen? We're going to have to live like we really do know who he is. And that comes from really knowing who he is. Amen? And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. Here it is. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. I want you to notice something. There's nothing else said. There's nothing else said. There's nothing else done. The Lord has need of him. Amen? And they brought the donkey to Jesus. Amen? Once you're doing what God tells you to do, there's nothing more to be said. You just do it, right? There's no debating here. There's no arguing. Well, I don't know, you know, if we can really do this. I mean, are we going to have to pay rent? You know, I mean, do you want some money for this donkey? You know, no. It was a done deal. The Lord has need of him. Nothing more is said. There's no arguing. There's no debating. They don't say, yeah, well, what time are you going to bring him back? Or any of that. There's none of it. Nothing more is said. Praise the name of Jesus. There's no real need to say anything more because it was for the Lord and it was for his church, for his followers, and that settled it. Amen? That settled it. Praise God. Now, once they got there, they would need even more direction. Look at verses 35 and following. And they brought him to Jesus, that is the donkey. And by the way, like I mentioned, the other gospel does mention the mother donkey involved in this, probably so that the young donkey can stay with the mother and so forth, so that it's together. But Luke only mentions the young donkey. And they brought him to Jesus and they cast their garments. Oh, by the way, which means the mother donkey was there. Because one gospel is not wrong and one is right. They're both right. Luke just chooses not to mention the mother. Okay? Everybody's got their style and God knows that. And he gave them what to write. Okay? God did. That's why the Bible says of itself, it is God breathed. Amen? This is the word of God. It's not made up. And they brought him to Jesus and they cast their garments upon the colt. And they set Jesus thereon. All right? They put the garments, they put some clothing, some cloaks probably, okay? Some coats on top of the donkey. Jesus was going to have it comfortable. Comfortable than it would have been otherwise. But he's also going to have it clean. We are then told that they also spread clothes along the way. Okay? Which means they put some of their clothes on the dirt path into Jerusalem. So the donkey's walking on clothes. The donkey is not going to get dirty either. See? It's about purity. It's about holiness. It's about righteousness. And then we are told, now Luke doesn't mention it, but in John, well, other gospels mention that there were branches, okay? But John's the only one that tells us what kind of branches. Palm branches. Okay? Palm branches. I told you a little earlier that the palm literally means upright, straight up, perpendicular. It's a purity, it's a picture of purity, righteousness, holiness. Praise the name of Jesus. See, there is something being communicated every step of the way. All five steps on the way to the cross, and now as they take these steps to Jerusalem to accomplish the other steps. Amen? There's a purpose. There's a plan. This Jesus is God. Amen. Glory be. Amen. And when he was come nigh, that is closer to the city, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives. See, Jerusalem, as you know, is built up high. All right? You know where. The Bible says clearly it was a place called Mount Moriah. Okay? It's a place where there was an offering made. Okay? And remember Ornan the Jebusite? He had all the stuff for the offering. He had it all up there. It was a threshing floor. He had the wood implements. He had the yoke for the oxen. He had the oxen. He had everything. And David comes along and wants to do an offering. And he says, here, just take it all. Just take it. And David says, no, this has to cost me. All right? So they worked it out. And so there's an offering made there at the exact spot where Jerusalem is going to be bigger than that exact spot. But the exact spot is where that offering took place. It's where the threshing floor was. Amen? And that's where they built the temple. Kind of neat, huh? Whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Even this, they knew this stuff. This stuff was in the Bible. This is Old Testament. These people know this stuff. This is special. This parade is telling us something. It's communicating something. It's directing us. And so they did all that. They put the garments on the donkey. They put Jesus on the donkey. They spread garments along the way. They took the branches and they waved them and they put them in the way along the road. And they cried out, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. You close your eyes and it almost sounds like Christmas. Doesn't it? Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Almost sounds like Christmas. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude, perhaps sprinkled through the group so they could see what's going on, maybe to find something against him, I don't know. But there were some Pharisees in the group. And they said, Master, rebuke thy disciples. Rebuke thy disciples. And Jesus said, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. You see, everything has a place in creation. Stones, their purpose seems to be sitting around. Okay? People are supposed to be praising God. Jesus says if people won't do it, the stones will. Praise God. The stones would immediately cry out. And then when he was come near to the city, and he beheld the city, he wept over it, we're told. Sobbed. This is not just getting a little emotional. This is not just getting a tear in the eye, and it rolls down the cheek, you know, and he has to wipe it away. No, 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 no. Jesus is sobbing. He is wailing for his city. He is crying out loud, wept over it. Sob, wail a lot. It means all this, okay? If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, and peace is not just absence of conflict. If that's all you're doing in life is looking to get out of trouble and looking to get out of, you know, affliction and so forth and so on, you're missing the point. Peace is a reconciliation with a holy God. Peace is leaving the sin life and the self life behind and coming into the God life. Letting God be in total control. That's what peace is. Praise God. But now they are hid from thine eyes. This is an interesting concept. I'll touch on this more when we get to Good Friday, but it's a very interesting concept. It's actually been hidden from them so that it would take Easter to make them get it. And I'll show you that real clearly when it comes to Easter. Okay? It's hidden for the time being. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about 40 years down the road, so to speak. He's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans. Not only Jerusalem, but the temple. Their pride and joy, gone. And they shall lay thee even with the ground. Gonna flatten you. Gonna flatten the town, gonna flatten the temple, and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. You see, normally the stones just sit. Normally the stones will just sit there and sit there and sit there. But when this destruction comes, one stone is not going to be upon another. God's going to move them. God's going to move them. And it's going to reveal that Jesus was right. And that Jesus is who he says he was. Praise God. Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Jesus had given his disciples some direction. He had communicated with them along the way. From picking out two to go get the colt. Tell them how to get the colt. They bring them back. I'm sure he told them, do this with the garments, do this with the branches. You know, at least with the garments, because, you know, they wouldn't know to put the garments on the donkey. So he goes ahead and, you know, he's leading the way. I don't think there's any doubt about that. He's giving them direction. But now he gives one and all some communication. He describes to them what's going to happen? What's going to happen? You did not know the time of your visitation. We need to know the time. Amen? Could I tell you it's right now? Amen? Could I tell you it's Friday night? Could I tell you it's Easter Sunday morning? Could I tell you it's every minute in between? Every minute before? Every minute after? Amen? Jesus is communicating something we've seen throughout the various steps. And now we go back to the beginning where the parade starts, and the parade then points the way to the cross, points to all the steps that need to be taken. Praise the name of Jesus, and it's all out of God's mercy. Amen. So we can know the time. And it's now. That poor boy looked forward to that circus all those months, saved up for, went, saw the parade, and that's all he saw. Because he didn't go all the way. There was a circus. Three rings. Lots of stuff going on. Got that, what is he called? The ringmaster? Yeah, ringmaster. And he's there in that red coat and pointing to him. Now, draw your attention to the ring number one. And then something happens there. And then ring number three. And it goes on and on, probably for hours. Missed it all. because he didn't go where the parade was pointing. He just made the parade be everything. Palm Sunday was not everything. It pointed the way to the cross and the empty tomb. And those are everything. Praise God. Amen? Praise God. We better be careful about that. We don't want to miss the time of our visitation. Let me ask you, do you see how all of the other steps line up with the parade? Now we've put the parade in front of the whole thing. Run, you literally head into Jerusalem and then step after step after step, just as we've already talked about, until finally the cross itself. And we'll look at that, of course, when it comes to Good Friday. Amen? Crucial. Absolutely crucial. Praise the name of Jesus. Would you join me, please, in prayer? Father, I want to thank you, dear God, for this day with these palm branches. They point to something, dear God. They have a purpose. They have a plan. They are going to show the way. And we've got to go the way instead of thinking maybe this is it. This is all there is. It isn't. There's more to come. Praise God, there's more to come. Every time I think of that story, dear God, with that little boy, and I guess I have a tendency to do this, I kind of make these things real, and I wonder, and that might very well be a real story about that boy, but I wonder, did he go back? The story doesn't tell us that, but I just wonder, did he go back? Maybe he had a ticket stub. Maybe he had a stamp on his hand. I don't know. Could he still go see the circus? I'd like to think that he could. And I'd like to think, dear God, that in these days, we also can go all the way with you. I know not only would like to think that, I know that. I pray, dear God, that you'll touch every one of us and draw us into that place of full submission and surrender. Hallelujah. We thank you. We praise you, dear God. You are the one that does point the way. In fact, you are the way. Glory to God. And there's no other way of getting to the Father. No other way. I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you that your word lays that out clearly. And I want to thank you, dear God, that all we need to do is come and believe. I think this is crucial. We see it, dear God, with these followers of Jesus. All they needed to do was just believe. And I pray, dear God, that that would be our lot in life as well, to believe, to receive, to live in Jesus. We thank you. We praise you. In his name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Amen.